Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football!
Welcome to Good Morning Football, presented by Old Trapper Beef Jerky. We're live in New York City. It's Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, November 25th. My name's Kay. Peter Schrager, Kyle Brandt, Super Bowl champion Sean O'Hara, wishing everyone out there a happy, healthy, I don't even know, sweet-filled, wonderful time. No awkward small talk with family interrogating you. If you have turkey trot guy in your family, tell him to go away. Yeah. I hate turkey trot guy.
I crossed it before the meal.
Yeah, want to come do the turkey trot in the morning? Like, it's going to make me feel better about my 500-calorie slice of pecan pie? No. Welcome to our show. Thanks for watching. Kyle Brandt, Peter Schrager, Sean O'Hara. My name's Kay Adams. Let's go with Lee Block.
Right, Lee Block.
Turkey truck. I'm glad I got 5K. It off my chest.
Knocked out. And all you guys play in the turkey bowl. That's stay safe.
I like guy who writes all day on Facebook his political thoughts and then shows up to Thanksgiving and looks to rehash them.
Yeah, you see my post?
Here's the schedule. We got three games today. We start in the NFC North. Stacey Dales is in Detroit. We'll talk to her in a little bit. Good Morning Football is here for the next hour or so, leading you into game day morning. They take over at 10 a.m. and it's a triple shot of NFL Total Access after each game. We are so thankful and grateful for the best reporters in the business working on Thanksgiving. Here's two of them now, Stacey Dales and Jane Slater. Stace, let's start with you. Get us set for this Bears-Lions situation. I know that there's a drum line. What else is going on, especially with Detroit? It's ground game and the sneaky good DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, Kay, don't look now, but DeAndre Swift is swiftly becoming one of the best backs in the National Football League, now in year two for these Lions. 2 weeks ago against the Steelers, 130 on the ground. Last week, another career high. Back-to-back career highs, 136 against the Browns. And he has been the catalyst, really, for this offense. But think about this. He leads all running backs in the NFL with 53 catches out of the backfield. So they're using him in every dimension. Dan Campbell talked about him this week. He said, we want to maximize his potential and get the most bang for our buck. He's been steady, reliable, and dynamic. Deuce Staley has been critical for this young man. Of course, the assistant head coach and running backs coach. Deuce played for the Eagles. He obviously coached for the Eagles. Well, DeAndre Swift, guys, is from Philly. Their connection has been, I use the word dynamic, been dynamic, and a big reason for these Lions having promise, if you will, offensively. We'll see if they can get it going today. And right now, we are going to go to Big D and Jane Slater, who's got a big game there in Dallas. Janer?
Thanks, Stacey, and happy Thanksgiving to you and everyone at home. Well, after the Cowboys only managed 9 points against the team last week, they are looking at these injuries on offense as we head into this one. There's a couple of key ones. When you look at your left tackle, Tyron Smith, he hasn't played a full game since week five. He missed the last three games with an ankle injury, but after getting 2 full days of practice in, he looks like he is good to go. As for Ezekiel Elliott, we saw him come out of the game at Arrowhead after looking like there was a tackle that helped him re-aggravate a knee injury. We asked him about that this week. He says it's sore, it's been sore, but he'll be ready to go. The one we are keeping an eye on, though, is wide receiver CeeDee Lamb. Now, he's been in concussion protocol this week, got a full day of practice in yesterday, and then the final step was to meet with a neurologist, but everyone in the building seems optimistic about him, and that is good news for Dak Prescott, his quarterback, who will be missing Amari Cooper, who is still dealing with COVID. Okay, back to you.
Jane, I saw that the macaroni and cheese at the stadium there in Dallas is off the hook. So I'm curious, are you going to take some home with you for Thanksgiving?
Don't be surprised if I have a to-go bag as I walk out of this stadium. Security, don't check me.
Thanks so much to Jane Slater and to Stacey Dales to talk to you throughout the show here today and on game day morning and on Total Access in between all of the action. Now it's time for the Throwdown a Thursday.
Let's go.
Turkey Day, Dab a Turkey edition. Let's stick with the Raiders Cowboys. Great job, Jane. They're outlining the ins and outs here. Let's straight up talk quarterbacks. Who is the bigger game, guys? Is it Derek Carr or is it Dak Prescott? KB, go.
I'm going Derek Carr. You know why? Dak Prescott is hosting. Hosting is a huge pain on a Thanksgiving today. There's a responsibility. There's a pressure. Derek Carr is coming in there like he's visiting somebody else's house. No pressure. Eat what you want. Drink what you want. Don't clean up. You can use any bathroom you want, even the one they tell you not to use. And I really think that Derek Carr is not going to be feeling the pressure that Dak Prescott is coming off. 2 out of 3 bad weeks for Dallas in a hashtag Super Bowl or bust segment, or season rather. Derek Carr, sure, there's a pressure of our, we've been on the, some hard times and we've been losing. I don't think so. Everyone's expecting Dallas to win this game and have this coronation and jump in kettles and have turkey legs. I think Derek Carr is going to play loose, clear, and I think he is going to have a bigger game than Dak Prescott visiting Dak Prescott's house, Sean.
I'm pretty impressed with Dak and his ability to have the awareness of what's going on. And also, he's aware that this time last year, look, he was watching. He was sitting on the sidelines. And I think for Dak, he's going to have a big game at home. The table is set for him to have a big performance. But it's not just going to be with his arm. A week or so ago, we heard about Dak Prescott telling everybody what a big bulldog he was. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to seeing that. I think Dak scores a couple touchdowns with his legs and shows everybody how strong he is. The Mississippi State Bulldog comes out.
That's it.
I can't do this segment justice without talking about the guy I've been just waxing poetically about for the last 72 hours and certainly the last... Micah Parsons is going to be feasting this afternoon. We talk about offense all the time. So to me, I think Derek Carr is going to struggle because of Micah Parsons being in his grill. That Raiders offensive line has done Derek Carr no favors after starting out the season pretty good. There's been injuries, and it is like a sieve right now. Carr is always under pressure throwing. I think Micah Parsons has 2, 3, maybe 4 sacks today. And for that reason, I'm going to say Dak Prescott will have the better day. This is going to be Micah Parsons' afternoon. Quarterbacks might not be the headline, guys.
You didn't call him Gumby.
Gumby
is his new handle. Yeah. Gumby.
The whole point was to do it. I forgot.
Thanksgiving is all about football, of course, and food. But at some point, you do sit down and eat. So let's talk about that. There's Thanksgiving, but the final throwdown today is the bigger star on Thanksgiving. Is it the sides or is it the desserts, of which I'm eating right now? Sean, go. What am I eating, Sean? This is delicious.
Yeah, this is no shame on desserts. They have their place. And everybody has a sweet tooth. Don't come at me. But I would eat so much of the sides. There's no room for desserts. Uh-huh. I can't get enough of the sides. I absolutely love it. There's never enough room on the plate, so you just have to kind of stack them and layer them and then mush them all together. Give me sides all day long. Okay. I don't care if I have to pass up on dessert. I want mac and cheese, mashed potatoes, wine mushrooms. Uh-huh, give me all. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Tell me if I'm, again, you know, you asked me Dak or Carr, and I'm like, give me Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
Are apps considered... sides?
Well, like what?
I'm here walking in and having the chips and the dip, and then you've got all of the different fixings. You've got the cheese plate, you got the charcuterie board, you've got all this, and then I'm good to go. I'm here for that first bite.
That's apps.
That's
apps. So,
like the rotis chick dip is an app.
That would be an app, right?
A side is something that is on your plate for the formal meal next to the turkey. That's a side. Beforehand, early, when you show up, the shrimp, that's okay. So those are sides right there.
Okay.
Peter, you're talking about apps, which is fine.
Not even in on these.
Okay. Really?
Not even in on the sides.
You don't
sides.
Want a big bowl of carrots?
No.
But if you take those away, it's just the turkey, and that's awful.
Yeah, the sweet potato stuff. Like, I'm not into all that. And mm-hmm. I know I sound sorry. I'm in for that first bite. I'm in for the buffalo chicken dip. I am in for the nouveau rouge of this whole thing. The early stuff.
You want some salami on a piece of wood?
Yeah, a little prosciutto.
I want a little prosciutto. Uh-huh, uh-huh. A little gabagool. A little mortadelle.
Mortadelle. Nice. That's aggressive.
A little mortadelle.
You can't say the word mortadelle unless you say
a mortadelle.
Marconi almonds.
Yeah, dude, all of it.
Yeah, all. Peter just filling his face.
I want to eat so many apps that I can't even enjoy the sides and the desserts.
Now you're doing it.
That's where I'm at.
That's kind of what Sean said. Those are both lies, like guys. There's always room. You always get it down. I'm actually going to go desserts here because I'm a simple man. Most of the desserts that I eat are like way later after everybody's left and I'm in the kitchen in my underwear eating the pie out of the fridge.
Visual.
However, there is one dessert that is as simple and as rudimentary as it gets that gives me more pleasure than any other dessert. And it is simply like this. You take the can and you just go.
Oh, just are you talking whippets?
Yes, there is a song by Devo, Sean, that it relates to that. But the whipped cream shot directly into the mouth out of the thing. Give the kids one. It is so fun.
After and dessert it's or is it like?
It's before, during, it's after. It's just for fun. You throw a shot back and it fills up your mouth and it's delicious. The ready whip, extra creamy, fam. Wow. That's what I go for.
You're going so many different directions with this. I'm just picturing Brooke watching you do this in your underwear in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. It's like a reverse Varsity Blues.
She hasn't seen your underwear in years.
Very Amy Smart. Earlier in the show, we were talking about the Thanksgiving food, and I said, I'm kind of over everyone thinking they're Emeril Lagasse and they're all going to make their cooked smoker thing, and I was kind of rolling my eyes.
Side turkeys.
And then, Kyle, you had a take to that take.
Yeah. So there's now a blowback of people who, want to learn the the art of cooking and try to do the research and make food for the family?
I'm that guy. I'm the hater. Like,
yeah.
Just keep it simple. Get a turkey. Not everyone needs to be, winning America's Next Top Chef.
Well, yeah. And when I use the electronic smoker and people are like, soulless, you're a communist. And I'm like... You win, okay? Like, you do it cooler than me. You have the logs. You're much more of a purist. You're more artisanal. That's fine. You are way cooler than me. I'm just going to feed my family in any way I find fit, and I'm not just going to do a long blog post about it either. So if you want to cast judgment on how I prepare my meat, that's on you. My family's going to eat.
But wait, that's not true.
You are that guy.
You are that guy. Are you crazy?
Time for everyone's runs.
Get over here.
Kyle, you are always posting about your food.
You Instagram your rubs and your paprikas and your, like, temperature thermometer, your app. You talk about this nonstop.
So, you know, there's something in this country that it's called pride. And I'm proud. Proud of my craft, but I'm also not going to do this. You know what pisses me off? Yeah. There's never going to be a recipe anymore. It's always a 15-chapter backstory on how you got the recipe, how you developed it. So it started on a rainy day of April 1986. No, I'm not doing any of that. I'm going to give you the pictures. And, I got a little sizzle with my steak.
I knew you in high school. You weren't Bobby Flay then. I knew you in college. Yeah. You weren't Bobby Flay
then.
Call
the Butterball hotline, ask your questions, and make your turkey. Thank you.
Just because the two of you guys can't make microwave popcorn doesn't mean you cast judgment on some of us two who can put a few recipes together.
Talked about having a potluck potentially, and then Triggs was like, "I'll bring pizza."
I'll bring pizza.
Said, "That sounds great."
You gonna make the pizza?
No.
You have a pizza oven? Because that's the cool thing to have.
I would be the Mrs. Doubtfire. I'd order from a nice restaurant. I'd plate it and sell it off as my.
Hello.
Ian Rappaport joining us. Happy Thanksgiving, Ian, to you, to your beautiful family. Hope you're going to enjoy some of that today, but we're busy. Three games, total access in between all of those games, of course, right here on NFL Network. Now, the Cowboys take on the Raiders. It's the second game of today's triple header. Give us the latest on two of their superstars on offense. I tried to squeeze some info out of Jerry Jones' news on our show yesterday. He did not budge. He talked about the depth at receiver. How about CeeDee Lamb and Zeke Elliott? Are they good to go?
One of the more difficult things, Kay, is trying to project when a player returning from a concussion is going to play. So you do have a situation where CeeDee Lamb is in the NFL's concussion protocol. He practiced on a limited basis yesterday. That is very good. Generally, if you'd play on Sunday, practicing on a limited basis on Wednesday would almost certainly mean you're going to be fully cleared by the next Sunday. But it's just not a lot of time. So the fact that CeeDee Lamb does not have any issues, the fact that he is feeling good, the fact that he was in meetings and practice is great news for the Cowboys, but he's listed as questionable. We will see if he is able to get full clearance in time for today's game. It's going to be awfully tight, but still theoretically possible. And then a player who is going to play, Zeke Elliott, their bell cow, their star running back, but he's battling a bone bruise in his knee. He was limited earlier in the week, had a full practice to end the week. He is going to play, but if you've watched Zeke the last couple weeks, you've wondered, why does he not quite look right? This is the reason why. He is going to play. Stopping was not an option, but he is going to be battling through pain. Maybe a long week coming up, not this week, but next week, helps him there. And then another injury I actually just learned about pretty recently. Justin Fields, the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears, who's obviously already ruled out for today's game. He suffered a few cracked ribs. Now, this was revealed in further testing. Remember, originally the x-rays were negative, the CT scan was clean, and then he had an MRI which revealed tiny fractures. He's going to be okay. This will be a short-term absence, but the Bears quarterback dealing with a real injury as Andy Dalton takes the field today.
Mm-hmm. Andy Dalton taking the field for the Bears up against the winless Lions up there in Detroit. Thank you so much, Ian. We'll talk to you throughout the show here. Time, guys, for something we call Quick Snap, presented by Microsoft Office 11. We've got a lot of exciting games. We're very thankful for them. So I'm going to ask you guys a question. You guys are going to use your surfaces to share your two-part answer. So there's two things in this one. Tell me why that is your answer, why it makes sense. We're all good right here. So with those games we've got going that we're very thankful and very excited about throughout the day today, which pair of players, which pair of coaches, which pair of team units will be the most entertaining on Thanksgiving Day?
I think it's always funny on Thanksgiving. You're like, oh, the Lions game. I'm not going to watch it. Then you're definitely watching because it's close at the end and it comes down to the stretch. And I think it's going to come down to the running backs. You might not get excited for Goff and Dalton, but in DeAndre Swift and David Montgomery, you have two of the better young running backs in football. If you're not watching DeAndre Swift every week, This is a talent, and it's in the draft class that includes Jonathan Taylor, and it includes Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And this guy just continues to get surface went black. This thing is my beautiful surface on Thanksgiving. That's I was right, hoping baby. You would be working here.
It does.
I would say that this is what we're going at here. DeAndre and Montgomery, it's an incredible matchup of two young running backs, both wearing 32. Don't focus on the quarterbacks. Focus on the run games. Both these guys could be gobbling up yards today.
Talk about it.
Bright spots for their teams that haven't been great. DeAndre Swift especially.
Yeah, I love what D-Swift's doing. I'm going to keep it in the same theme right here with the running backs.
Here we go.
I'm going. The table's set right here for these two guys right here. Give me Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard. All right, when I played for the Giants, we had a three running back committee. We called them Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Hell yeah, you did.
And having the 1-2 punch of Zeke and Tony Pollard really keeps defense on their toes. I think these guys both going to score touchdowns. I know there's been a little bit of a previous history with a certain red kettlebell.
Sure.
I expect some antics and I expect some theater there. But when you look at the fact that both of them have different styles, I think they're both going to play well against this Raiders defense. It's really struggled against the run.
Sean, it's not a kettlebell. It's just a kettle. A kettlebell is what you do. The
I know. I channeled my inner Kyle's basement gym.
Sean also started the show on an interesting note of hunting, because this Thanksgiving and you have some friends in what are they called? Tree stands? Deer stands?
Deer stands.
Here's your hunter right here. I want Max Crosby. Max versus Dak.
Yeah, Max.
I got this feeling today. I'm kind of feeling nuts. I want all upsets across the board. Okay. I really do. I'm looking for the Saints. I'm looking for the Lions. And I'm looking for the Raiders. Max Crosby is one of the proudest guys on defense, one of the most entertaining guys on defense. There's a narrative right now with the Raiders. Hashtag narrative that the season is slipping away. It's going to be over. This is officially the last game. No. He will put this team on his back. Max versus Dak. Dak running for his life. Losing this game potentially would be awesome. 98 is going to have a big day with some buckshot up in that deer stand. Go
Prescott's for dessert.
Talk about it. Let's go.
You want the Saints to win? The Buffalo fan base is not going to be happy with you.
Yeah. They got other things to be upset about, believe me, right now.
You're not wrong. Aside from football, there's, of course, eating going on today. You're probably up. I don't even know. What did Ian say he was doing? Injecting turkey with butter?
Injecting butter into his turkey, yeah. Hot.
I don't want to see how it's made. I just want to eat it with lots of gravy. I want to know, you guys are at your Thanksgiving Day experience. There are two seats available, and you can fill them with two NFL personalities. Who would you most want at your Thanksgiving butter-injected turkey festival?
I want the guys who have the hottest political takes, the guys who have a lot of things to say to talk about the country right now. No, I want the
somebody
two,
in Green Bay?
No, I want gentlemen. I want gentlemen, and they run hard, and they run fast. But these Colts running backs, we've had them both on the show. Naheem Hines and Jonathan Taylor, like, if you don't want to bring them home to family, you haven't met them both. Jonathan Taylor is a wonderful young man.
Wonderful.
He'll run through you like you're a brick wall, and he'll just say, I don't care, and go right through you. But this kid is a Jersey boy who went to Wisconsin and one of the most polite people. Naheem Hines is maybe the NFL's Renaissance man. Yes. This is a guy who has come on our show multiple times and has wowed us, and then tracked the entire field to go introduce himself to Tavon Austin a couple weeks ago, because he's like, I grew up loving Tavon Austin. It was all mic'd up on Hard Knocks,
and it was an incredible moment.
They're two running backs, two of the most ferocious players in the league, two of the most wonderful and warm gentlemen. That's who I want to do, and we should be talking more about both of them. Hines and Taylor, great kids and great guys to have at the table for Thanksgiving.
They would try everything. They eat the dry turkey and tell you it's delicious. Mm-hmm. They're like perfectly,
they're good.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
I love them.
Wonderful is a good word.
I can see them both like falling asleep on the couch immediately after the meal, too.
Yeah.
They've been working hard. But the meal is great. You know, there's a lot of anticipation for this meal, right? I think that's part of what makes Thanksgiving so exciting for everybody. And when you spend all that time making food, making a dish, you want somebody that's going to appreciate what it is and what it stands for. Give me Andy Reid and Bruce Arians. Is anybody going to appreciate Thanksgiving meal more than Andy Reid?
Uh-huh.
I mean, look, I love the big guy, and I love everything he represents. And you know damn well that he's going back for a second helping, maybe even a third. I don't know. He's not going to be like, no, I've had enough. Like, there is no off switch when it comes to that. So the meal is set. Andy Reid's.
Do you want the guy eating all the food, Sean, at the Thanksgiving table, or do you want to say, hey, maybe we can save some for the big
the leftover sandwich?
Yeah.
For plenty the next
to go
day.
Around.
Okay. They
plenty
need a lot.
I mean, if you're doing it right, there's plenty. There's leftovers. That's the whole point. But Bruce Arians, here's why he's there. Because after you're done eating, what does everybody do? You hang out. You talk. You share stories. BA's got some great stories. And everybody, you know what? Maybe a little cappuccino. Maybe a little
something.
Give me BA in a glass.
BA's the kind of guy who goes for a walk after the dinner. Couple of gentlemen, couple old friends. I want a couple of rogues, brutes. Give me these two guys. Nick Sirianni and Dan Campbell. There's a thing in Curb this season where they talk about if you center at a party, which means if you sit in the middle of a dinner party, it's a huge responsibility, and some people can't center. I want these guys as my center. Weird stories. Can you imagine when Nick Sirianni's at your table and all of a sudden he goes, excuse me, I'd just like to say a few words here, and he gets into some story about the Mayflower that is now completely archaic and like offensive to everybody, but still sort of charming. And then Campbell's going to eat, he's going to drink, he's going to cut one, he doesn't even care. He's going to roll up his sleeves.
Yeah, afterwards. That was me.
I'm going to have to claim that one. In some countries, that shows approval of the meal. That's my man. I don't know if he's going to win today, but I think it'd be a win having him at my table.
Everybody likes their own brand.
Hey, better going out than staying in, I always say.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Good morning, and allow me to interrupt this time when we remember what we're thankful for, to alert the NFL to what it should be afraid of. A long, long time ago, in a segment far, far away, Shragi Wan Kenobi alerted us to a great disturbance in the Force, as if millions of fans cried out in terror.
What's the Star Wars Darth Vader music? Dun 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 dun.
Oh, dun 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 dun.
Do you feel like the rest of the AFC hears that in the background as the Patriots make their march?
The Imperial March.
Do you feel the Patriots surging because it's happening? Patriots are coming.
That was weeks ago. They haven't lost since. The Patriots are not coming. The Patriots are here. With a fleet of star destroyers, star players, TIE fighters, tight ends, AT-ATs, juggernauts, marauders. The rise, the resurrection, the return of the Galactic Empire. The Imperial March thunders through the AFC, and this man, Coach Sidious, has reforged his armies, rebuilt his Death Star, has a new England, and worst of all, a new pupil. Remember, as Master Yoda cryptically warned Mace Windu in the coda of The Phantom Menace, always two there are, no more, no less, a master and an apprentice. That took him, of course, to the circumbinary Outer Rim SEC system of Tatooine, where he consulted with Coach Dooku, who told him of the turgid midichlorian count of a young pupil. Of this young pupil. Now note, the strong Anakin likeness. Note the Shmi Skywalker cheekbones, and remember the observations of the late Jedi Master Qui-Gon Jinn, who justified the pupil's fast reflexes with his ability to see things before they happen. And so it would come to pass. Upon the convergence of the Republic Senate, the new order of New England chose their dark prince. And you remember the walk. This walk. This is not a walk. This is a march. This is the same gait of Vader himself exiting the Imperial shuttle in Episode 6 to motivate Tian Jar Jarad to expedite the construction of the second Death Star. That is the same march as Anakin, newly rechristened by Darth Sidious, as he enters the Jedi Temple to slaughter younglings. Draft pick 15 was Order 66, and his rise was rapid. As was his seduction by the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. The dark side of the Force is a pathway to many opinions, some considered to be unnatural. Why doesn't he like pie? Because his only pleasure comes from submerging in the cylindrical Bacta tank to meditate outside his life support armor with a modicum of comfort before resuming his quest to rule the galaxy at the Emperor's side. Now, of course, there's always a resistance. And that resistance have been dispatched like helpless outgunned rebels abandoning Echo Base, like the many Bothans who gave their lives, like the indigenous children's toys of the forest moon of Endor without their ingenuity or their resolve. Their feeble skills are no match for the power of the dark side. This is not A New Hope. This is the strike back. There is no exhaust port. There is no medal ceremony. This fierce machine, which he has built, upon which they stand, will again bring an end to the AFC, to their cherished fleet,
All remaining systems will bow to the New England New Order. Everything that has transpired has done so according to his design.
This guy injects butter into his side turkeys. I don't know, side turkeys were a thing. You can't hide money, Ian Rappaport. Side turkeys up there at your house, but you've got info for us now. It's Bill Saints for the nightcap tonight. You're going to be mad at me about that one. Who will New Orleans have at running back tonight? I'm very worried about Mark Ingram.
Well, let's start with what you mentioned first. I'm not ashamed of my side turkey, and it's not some sort of shady thing. In my house, I wasn't trusted to make the big turkey, which is like 24 pounds. So I get the 7-pound turkey breast, which will mostly be used as leftovers. It's smoking right now. I'm trying not to take it as an insult. I'm going to do the best I can with what was given to me. And that's just the way it's going to be. I'm going to cook
sketchy,
it with a lot of pride.
But now you explained it so well.
It's a sad day. Anyway. As far as the Saints running backs, they hope it is not a sad day, but we'll start with Alvin Kamara, who is not going to play tonight. He was already ruled out. He's dealing with an MCL sprain. This is going to be the third game that he has missed. You hope that after this short week that he is able to come back. He did practice one day over the last 2 weeks, then ended up going DNP. We'll see if he's able to make it back, but either way, not going to go tonight. And then Mark Ingram, his former mentor, now sidekick, he's dealing with a little bit of swelling in his knee, swelled up early in the week, did not practice, was able to get out there on a limited basis yesterday. That means he's questionable. That means he at least has a chance. It's a bit of an uphill battle to play, but no one has ruled him out, and you know he is going to try. If neither of these guys can go, then Tony Jones ends up being the bell cow for a very, very depleted Saints offense.
Tony Jones, a name I would definitely be looking at for that game tonight. Thank you so much, Ian Rappaport. Talk to you in a bit. Good luck with your side turkey, whatever you call it. I'm gonna have to tell Leah about your side turkey. Sorry about that. Super Bowl aspirations, of course, for the Bills. Josh Allen MVP talk. A grocery list, a cornucopia in Trigger's words, of returning coaches and players. The Bills haven't consistently lived up to expectations that we had for them. They also played the easiest schedule in the NFL. I've said that a million times on this program in this very season. So what do we need to see from this Bills team tonight? I scratched my head, Peter, yesterday. I said, logically, give me a reason that it's not clicking and they're not winning and none of us could come up with anything.
Couldn't find it. And I would say the reason to get back on the Bills is like that they just take care of business. And that seems like it's such a trite thing to say, like take care of business. It's really hard to go win in New Orleans, especially on Thanksgiving. The Saints win just about every year when they're playing on Thanksgiving. And we've got Cam Jordan eating turkey legs. We've got all sorts of memories of recent years, the Saints taking care of business. So go in there and erase any doubt and like do it convincingly. This team is still really good. They don't have as many injuries as maybe the Packers have or the Cardinals have or what we talk about with Tennessee, which is just riddled with injuries.
But we're missing linemen.
Kyle, you hit it yesterday. Like, if anything, they're one of the most healthy teams in the league.
No, but we're missing our interior.
No, like, you know, Kyler Murray misses 3 games. Colt McCoy wins 2 games. Right. Derrick Henry's out. They go on a 6-game winning streak. Like,
Cardinals.
This is it. Buffalo, like, go take care of business. You're playing arguably one of the most unrecognizable football. Like, it feels like there will be just strangers wearing these Saints jerseys tonight at some points. When you have Simeon at quarterback instead of Breeze and Winston, and you might have Taysom Hill, but we don't know because of his ankle.
Who are those Saints wideouts, Peter?
We might have Ramchek. We don't know. Tony Jones is at running back, and I'm not knocking these guys. They might have the day of their lives. But if you're the Buffalo Bills and you're a Super Bowl favorite and you're Josh Allen and you're the MVP favorite and you finished second in MVP last year, go and wax that team. You are the team. You are the heavies. So, Bills, for us to really jump back on board and do and celebrate the banging on the tables, go bang on some tables today in New Orleans and come back to Buffalo as winners.
Okay. Like cool plays, bro. You showed Peyton Manning and he tapped out like 2 minutes ago in the third quarter.
Yeah. I think 6 touchdowns. He was done.
That's what we want to see from Josh Allen if you're a Bills fan, right? You want to see him on a solid. Who's the backup quarterback? Mitch?
Trubisky.
Trubisky, that's what you want to see. If Mitch Trubisky is playing in this game,
great on Thanksgiving.
That's a great omen for the Buffalo Bills. So I think that's what you want to see. Look, the Saints defense got rolled last week against the Philadelphia Eagles. That was on the ground. They're really good defensively in the secondary. They're really good against the deep pass. And I think when you look at Brian Daboll in this offense, they've been so reliant on the big play, the big throw. And sometimes the timing's not there for whatever reason. It just doesn't work. They need to go back to just, you know, working on things short to intermediate before they go for that home run ball. But I think Josh Allen should run for a couple touchdowns. Mm. Like, that's the Josh we love to see. We love to see him running over people. You showed him picking up the fumble and then diving in. Like, that's what I want to see Josh Allen. You could throw for four touchdowns at the front. I want to see him run for two.
You want to see Trubisky. I love that.
Trubisky on the field for the Bills, probably a good thing if it's late.
Oh, yeah.
What do I want to see? There's a thing you can do in the sport of football. It's in, with usually use your shoulders and your arms, and you tackle the person who carries the football. I know
that's
it's difficult to hit these days, but you can still tackle. There aren't rules against it. Josh Allen's going to do Josh Allen. I'm not worried about him. Does anybody want to tackle on this defense? This is the so-called number one defense according to the stats. You got great veterans. You got great personalities. You tackle someone. You might get Mark Ingram today, and Mark Ingram... Say what you want about him. He will run the hell over you if you do not tackle him. He is an old, proud veteran who runs north and south, just like these guys who have trounced you. So my concerns about Buffalo are all between the ears. Their roster is too good to be losing like this. And I look at guys like Josh Allen or even Sean McDermott, Stephon Diggs, who's not this first-round pick. These guys have never been the five-star recruit, the number one overall pick. They've never been. Yeah. Fireball, California, Wyoming, another. I don't know if they can handle the fame and the seduction of being a front runner because it seems to me it is a coaching thing, it is a mentality thing. There's too many good players to see them lose like this. So get this the hell back on track. You are a great story in this season. You should be ascending right now. Don't go where we can't follow you. And if you go to the Superdome and lose, we can't follow you. Get this done.
I've heard this narrative of maybe they're feeling themselves, they're reading their own press. Is there anything tangible that makes you think that way, or it's just like an option because we can't think of something else? You know what I'm saying? Like, is there anything that you've heard, like anybody say that lock? Because I don't know.
No, they don't pop off. There was a moment when they scored a touchdown early against the Colts, and they had been getting pounded in that game. And Dawson Knox and Stephon Diggs, who I love, did their goofy antics with the camera, and they're doing their extracurriculars. And I'm like, you guys, I don't know if that's the tenor of this game right now. Like, maybe just dampen that down a little bit.
Settle down to them, yeah.
Just like, I want business-like execution tonight. Yeah. Angry playing.
Yeah, and it's almost less about it, the matchup to me is what says it all. Like, the Bills this would be a critical juncture for them against any opponent, but this is a Saints team that is literally a shell of itself. You're hearing the injury reports. No Kamara. Of course, Michael Thomas is not even coming back. We won't see Ramchek. Mark Ingram, knee swelling. I don't feel good about that at all. Teron Armstead. This defense for the Saints is 22nd against the pass. Like, Josh Allen, you have to get this done, especially in this matchup. He has four touchdowns, five interceptions, guys. Josh Allen does. Over the last 3 weeks, Buffalo's dropped two of the last three. So it's all on his shoulders today against a shell of itself team.
Now joining us is one of our favorite friends of the show, and it's a family show, it really is. This guy comes on every Thanksgiving with us when we have our crossover shows with his, and he's a former NFL head coach. He's truly like all of our uncles here at the NFL Network now. Co-host of Game Day Morning, one of the best guys you'll ever meet. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Mariucci!
What's up? Hi. Strange, thanks for calling me uncle. They call me grandpa over there on the West Coast.
No,
I'll take uncle today.
Uncle, you look great, you sound great, and on Thanksgiving Day, you are great. And many families have a younger generation that sits at the kids' table, and then there's the grown-ups' table. Let's have some fun with that, and let's bring you in for this. And
okay.
I'm going to give you a team, and you tell us what they need to do to go from the kids' table to the big kids' table. Let's start with the Buffalo Bills tonight against the Saints. Ooh. What do you got?
Yeah, Buffalo Bills. Yeah, you sit over there at the kids' table because you haven't acted your age quite yet. You know, these guys are so up and down. You know, they'll score 15 points and they'll put a 40-burger on somebody. Then they'll score two field goals against Jacksonville Jags. So until they start becoming a mature team and being consistent and playing like you're supposed to play when you're averaging second most points in the league, you sit over there at the kids' table. You're not getting an invite till you show me otherwise. And so tonight I'm expecting them to play pretty darn well and quit turning the ball over. That's a good football team, but they don't act like it.
Mooch, it's always great to see you. Happy Thanksgiving, my man. Let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys. Right now, they're at the head of the table in the NFC East. And you mentioned the kids' table. Look, at your house, you may call them mini mooches over there. What do the Dallas Cowboys have to do to avoid getting sent down to mini mooches' table after and possibly losing two of their last three games?
I know it. You know, they're at the big kids' table right now. But, you know, I am watching you because when you lose a couple games out of three and you just, you know, so many people, and we'll talk about that with Michael Irvin for the whole show later on. I mean, you know, he's a Cowboy guy through and through. But, man, they're not playing like it. And I was a little surprised last week when they were, you know, missing Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb went out. They just didn't make the proper adjustments to keep playing good football on offense, you know. And I just heard Rap Sheet say that Zeke has a knee. Well, that maybe that explains it because he only had 32 yards. I want to see them run the football and play a little more smash mouth. You don't have to be this finesse passing team all the time. You got good players. I think Dan Quinn's defense is getting better, but you know I want them to be more consistent and a little bit tougher and more physical in the trenches, and then they can stay at the big kids' table. Otherwise, they might go back down.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's keep this big kids table thing going. Mooch, great to see you. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
You too,
there's
Kate?
The big kids table, then there's the kids table, and then there's you've been so bad that you were like in your room, you don't get to eat. And that's where I would put the Bears and the Lions. They're both there. They're not even at the kids table. Which one of them do you think has a better chance of getting to the kids' table, the Bears or the Lions, so they can eat dino nuggets and string cheese?
Neither. You know, in that division, the Packers and the Vikings are sitting at the big kids' table, and the other guys are trying to figure it out back there. You know, it reminds me of when I was younger and my kids were younger, and I have three boys, but two of them were fighting all the time. They're always fighting all the time. So I threw them in the laundry room. You want to fight? Go fight. All right? You know, that's what Ford Field is today, the laundry room. You got Bears and Lions? Go fight it out. See who's better. I don't know who's better right now. Neither team has showed us anything this year. And so, you know, then they can fight over tater tots. But right now, neither team has found their way. They're both in rebuild mode. But let's go. Somebody's got to figure this out.
I hope so, because after the laundry room, then it's down to the crawl space where the water heater is and the furnace. It just gets really bad from there. Somebody has to win today.
Really?
But let's take a sharp left turn here. In week 10, it was the strangest thing. Raiders defensive tackle Quentin Jefferson, it looked like he was jumping offsides, but no. He was actually reaching to pick up scissors. They were on the field at the line of scrimmage and hold them up to try to vacate them from the field of play. It was really weird. Mooch, you've seen a lot of things. Going back to when you were a running backs coach at Northern Michigan back in the 70s, what is the strangest thing that you have ever witnessed on a football field?
Yes.
Okay, this one's easy. So you ever been to Philadelphia? So when I was coaching for the Niners, we're playing at Philly, okay? So a streaker goes flying by, and that was no big deal. I saw it a million times in college. And then fireworks start going off during the game for no reason. And then one time I wanted to just turn around and go back to the bench and start talking to a couple of my players. And there were two girls. There were two girls that came out of the stands. They were sitting right next to Garrison Hurst and just having a good old time. And I went, "Who the heck are you?" And they said, "Hey, where's Susie and whoever?" I go, "Get out. Get out of here. How would we let you down here?" And players, "Come on, coach. They didn't bother anybody. I got girls sitting on our bench." And then they had a judge in the stands. They're trying to decide if somebody should get kicked out of the stadium and lose their tickets for misbehaving. Remember that Judge Judy thing they had in the stands? It was like, where am I? Is this a pro football game? It all happened in one game. I couldn't believe it. But girls, I mean, am I a bad guy for kicking girls out of my bench? I don't know.
No.
It's an amazing story. Garrison Hurst is sitting there with Charlie Garner and Fred Beasley. Like, "What's up, ladies? How we doing?" Unbelievable.
Were there drinks?
Amp Lee is like, "Hey, guys." All right, so we can talk about the 90s Niners all the
way.
But let's get back to some serious topics here. And we're going to bring it down a notch because Matthew Judon said that macaroni and cheese should be off the table on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. That is something that we are still handling here. Macaroni and cheese is a part of our show. We love macaroni and cheese. Give us your hot take. If you had to pick them, what item would you take off the Thanksgiving Day table?
Off the table. Gosh, that's against my religion, taking things off the table. But anyway, how about, like, take off twice-baked potatoes. What do you need twice-baked potatoes for? You got mashed potatoes and gravy. You got butternut squash. You got candied yams. You got all that mushy stuff. You don't need to bake a potato twice. But save that for another meal, because we got all kinds of other soft stuff. Baked potatoes, twice-baked. You're out.
You're out. Get you're just like you told Susie. Get out of here. Love it. We have a segment on our show we were supposed to do today, but just like in true Good Morning Football fashion, we didn't get to it. But let's talk about it. It's called a New York Minute, where we have 60 seconds on the clock and you try to answer as many questions as you can. Let's see if you can handle it. Mooch, I know it's early there on the West Coast, but get your head in the game. 60 seconds on the clock. A New York Minute with Mooch. Go. Which quarterback has the most at stake over the final 7 weeks of the season?
You know what? How about Jalen Hurts? He took over for Carson Wentz. Everybody went, yeah, he's a... And then all of a sudden he started off not so good. And all of a sudden now he's starting to play and run around like crazy. But if he plays the next 7 weeks like I think he can and I know he can, he's going to solidify himself in Philly over there as their franchise quarterback. Jalen Hurts.
Mooch, which pair of NFL personalities would you most want to be at your table for Thanksgiving? Give me a pair.
How about Gronk and whoever else he wants to show up with? Maybe one of his brothers.
Sure.
He's nuts. And I like nuts.
Mooch.
He's nuts.
But
we like
yours and hers.
So do we. Mooch, which team has the most underrated fan base in the NFL?
Oh, you know what? You know, there's some great ones like the Steelers and Packers and Cowboys and Raider fans. They're awesome. But maybe underrated? How about the Bills Mafia? You know, to get in the club, you got to jump off a car and land on a table or something. But the Bills Mafia, and then, you know, Old Man Winter has a season tickets over there. So they're going to be good going down the stretch. Good fan base. What was that horn?
Mooch, the clock's ticking, man. What do you contribute to your family's Thanksgiving Day meal?
What do you bring to the table?
You know, mostly I'm working. I'm usually working, O'Hara. You know, but, you know, if I'm home, I help set up the table. And then I'm responsible for grace. Okay, how we say grace. I eat like everybody else, mac and cheese. And then I help clean up, you know, and that's kind of it. And I'm around here. But, gosh, I work all the time here, don't you guys?
Oh, yes, we do. Believe me, yes. Our star of the week has been the game day morning dabbing turkey, Mooch. It's this cartoon turkey that puts a little cartoon beak under its cartoon wing. We love it, and it does it over your shoulders. We'd like to give you the opportunity, though, to steal the spotlight. Mooch, you are up next on NFL Network when our show comes to an end in about 22 minutes. Yeah. Mooch, do what you do so naturally and beautifully. Get us excited. Get us hyped. Tell us and tell the world what they can see to expect to see on this special edition of game day morning Thanksgiving.
We got a dab, like a dab right there, you know, coming up next on game day morning.
Coolest grandpa ever.
Oh, boy. We're going to do our Super Bowl picks do-overs, all right? We're going to have the dabbing turkey. Okay. We're going to do our jive turkey segment, which we all hate, but we do it because they ask us to do it. We're going to do the top 10 Thanksgiving moments of all time. I'm sure there's some cowboy stuff in there that Irv will chime in on. And we're going to have a lot of fun. And then we're going to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody and then get on with our day. But it's going to be an awesome show. Mm-hmm. They're letting us do it from home this week. You know, I'm at home right now. And I'm thankful for that because we can spend a little bit more time with our families, but we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great show.
That's awesome.
That's really nice. That's really
nice.
Nice
of the producers.
Good. I didn't know you could do that.
That's cool.
That's nice. Wow. You know, I know you guys had to go in today, you know.
Mooch.
Cry me a river.
Way to rub it in, Mooch.
Mooch, that was like, that
you know what? I'm at home.
Perfectly said.
Yeah. Hey, good luck with the blessing. Grace.
Okay.
Trace
all
and
right.
I just exchanged right. the best glance across the table. That was
we
it.
We love you, Mooch. We'll keep it on the network. If you're into football, keep it right here. We got some great stuff. Mooch, thank you so much for joining our virtual table, even if you're at home and we're right here at work.